about the heat in her house, to ask if it was working, if she'd figured out how to use the fireplace, if she was warm enough. He would not tell her about the videos he'd watched about old steam heating or about the book he'd ordered from Hazel about radiator maintenance. She hadn't asked for any of it. He cleared his throat. For whatever reason, Kira didn't want his help, which he was just now realizing left him with no moves whatsoever. God, maybe he really did have a problem with women. If he couldn't fix anything for her, then what did he have to offer? That was a grim thought for so early on a Wednesday. "Yeah, they'd be a real draw for the farm," he said. "Yeah, I hope so. We had a really good turnout last weekend, so I'm just trying to keep the momentum going." She shrugged a little inside her bulky coat. The sun was starting to stretch its rays down Main Street, and it gilded the fluff around her hood. Well, cookies never hurt. He was running out of things to say, running out of reasons to keep talking to her. Maybe the women he usually dated ditched him after a few dates, not because they were using him, but maybe just because he was boring. "Look, I really am appreciative of all the help your friends gave me on Sunday. I know I haven't been particularly friendly to you." Bennett shrugged. "You don't owe me friendliness." But he wanted to earn her friendliness. He wanted it freely given. She'd given him glimpses of it, little tastes, and he wanted more. She lifted an eyebrow. "Okay. Okay." He was definitely smiling like a moron, but she was nearly smiling back, so it was worth it. "So, I was thinking."
"Oh?"
"Well, I just thought, if you wanted to come up to the farm in the mornings to let the dogs run around before we open..."
"Yeah?"
"I wouldn't chase you off the property." And there it was, that private smile she'd given him on Sunday, like they were sharing a secret joke.
"I might take you up on that. The dogs would love it."
Kira stooped to give Odie and Pudgy some attention.
"Would you like that? Do you want to come run around and pee on a whole bunch of trees?"
She glanced up at Bennett. "We won't mention to the customers that their family Christmas tree may or may not have pee on it." He laughed, and Kira smiled bigger, and he was pretty sure church bells rang out in the distance. Elizabeth licked the side of Kira's face.
"Oh, kisses, thank you,"
Kira said with a laugh, gently pushing Elizabeth's big face away from hers. She stood up, the smile still lingering around her mouth. Bennett forced himself to drag his gaze away from her lips.
"So, maybe I'll see you tomorrow morning," she said,
and beneath the casualness of the question, Bennett heard more, or he wanted to think he did.
"I think you probably will."
"Great."
She shook her head, remembering too late to rein in her enthusiasm.
"I mean, good. I will maybe see you then."
All three dogs immediately started whining as soon as she turned and strode off toward Annie's bakery. Bennett had to swallow his own whine at seeing her go, but he had an invite to see her tomorrow. He was sure everyone in the Pumpkin Spice Cafe would know exactly what the ridiculous smile on his face meant when he walked in, so he took the back alley and went straight up to Jeannie's apartment. If he was going to spend tomorrow morning up at the farm, he'd better get some work done today. He set himself up on the couch, laptop, coffee, peacefully snoring dogs, check, check, and check. He had to admit that working from home did have its perks. The Christmas tree he'd gotten from Kira's twinkled cheerfully in the corner of Jeannie's living room, and he had his feet propped up on her coffee table in his cozy Christmas socks. He could get used to this. Unfortunately, before he could get too deep into his work or his fantasies about Kira, three new texts popped up on his phone and derailed his entire morning. One look at the name on his screen, and all the good feelings of the morning dissolved. He should have blocked the number months ago, but he hadn't. Why? Some ill-placed feeling of guilt? Some absurd hope that she'd want him again for more than just a few weeks? That she might need something? Ignoring everything that was healthy for him, he opened the first one.
"Hey, Ben, I'm back in town. Want to meet up for drinks?"
Bennett sighed and pinched the bridge of his nose. The familiar pull already had his fingers twitching to respond before he read her next message.
I miss you.
Of course she did. She always did, after a while.
I hate to be alone for the holidays, and I know you do too. Call me.
And there it was. She just needed someone to warm her bed until spring rolled around, or she got bored, or she found someone more interesting to spend her time with. Nicole Allen was Bennett's shameful secret. Not even Jeannie knew about her. He'd been way too embarrassed at the time to tell anyone about her, and he certainly wasn't about to tell anyone now. Nicole was the real reason he'd uprooted his life and moved across the country. They dated on and off throughout college, with him always being more invested than she was, not that he would have admitted it at the time. When she'd gotten a job on the West Coast after graduation, he assumed it was officially over between them. It should have been a fresh start for him, but instead, she asked him to come with her, tearfully, actually, after confessing she was afraid to go alone, to start over on the other side of the country. Of course, it was the exact right thing to say to him. How could he not go? How could he resist the feeling of being her hero? He'd followed her to California and shared her apartment and her bed for 3 months before she realized it had all been a mistake. It turned out that freedom was actually what she wanted. He'd been too embarrassed to come back home, and so he'd stayed. And somehow, she was still able to lure him back, because apparently, the only thing that got him off more than helping people was being needed by this woman. Whenever they were together, it was because she needed him or something from him, at least. She needed him to chase away her loneliness, or she needed him to comfort her while she licked her wounds from whatever the last guy did to her, or she needed him to escort her to holiday parties and ensure she was never under the mistletoe alone. And damn it, if he didn't feel the pull of her again. She missed him. She was lonely. She wanted him. He glanced at his tree, and the pull lessened. Kira's smile from this morning lit up behind his eyes. Maybe this time he didn't need Nicole back. He tossed the phone aside and resolved not to answer. But before he could congratulate himself or manage to write a single line of code, another thought disrupted his workday. Was he only replacing Nicole with another woman who he hoped needed him? Was Kira's main appeal her need for help? Suddenly, his entire dating history landed in front of him in a heap of disasters and failed connections. Did Bennett seek out people who would ultimately be more than happy to take advantage of him? Was this last year of shitty dates his fault? Christ, he really did get off on helping people. He had some kind of damsel in distress kink. What the hell was wrong with him? Odie let out a soft sigh next to him, like he was equally disappointed in this revelation, and Bennett absentmindedly scratched between the little dog's ears. He needed to fix this. He needed to break this cycle. He needed to stay away from Kira North. Elizabeth looked up from her spot on the floor as though she'd heard his thoughts, her dark eyes peering into him. She let out a sad little bark. Bennett groaned. We can't. Elizabeth growled. I'm trying to be a better person. Don't you want that for me? The big dog tipped her head like she actually understood him, and then gave an indignant bark. Bennett sighed. He spent way too much time alone with these dogs. Fine. Maybe we can still go for a walk, he said, and the dog huffed a breath in relief before putting her head back down on her paws. Okay, so he would just keep his helping instincts and his hands to himself. Easy. Maybe he wouldn't even see Kira. It was a large farm, after all. He would just stick to the outskirts. Maybe he'd get lucky and find that dead body. Nothing kills a boner like a murder victim, right? Odie sighed again, his disappointment clear. Bennett was so screwed. Chapter 12. Kira was in way over her head. Buying a farm and opening her own business was one thing, but ice skating? That was a step too far.
"I think maybe I'll just watch," she said, wobbling on her rented skates, even though she was still standing on the rubber mats they put around the rink.
"Are you sure?" Iris asked, assessing her from under her knit hat. She looked adorable in her black leggings and oversized sweater. It was red with white snowflakes on it, and Kira wished she'd worn something more festive than her olive-green coat, but she was freezing as usual.
"I'm sure. I'll just observe until I get the idea."
Iris laughed.
"I still can't believe you've never ice skated before."
"I told you, my family avoided any activities that required freezing temperatures."
"Right, I forgot. A whole family afraid of being cold," Iris teased.
"Just be careful out there, Iris. There's a lot of kids."
Iris nudged her with a laugh, and Kira had to hold on to the half wall around the rink in order not to tip over.
"Ha ha," Iris said. "I'm glad you came anyway."
They'd quickly become friends, or trauma bonded over providing what felt like the entire Christmas-crazed town with their trees in the course of 3 days. But either way, Kira was happy to have someone to joke with again.
"Yeah, me too," Kira admitted begrudgingly.
Iris had convinced her to come skating at the ice rink after closing up the farm for the night, to celebrate their early success. And while Kira was incredibly pleased with their sales since the grand reopening, she could think of a million other places she'd rather celebrate. But Iris had insisted it was a Christmas season in Dream Harbor must-do. So here she was. Iris glided onto the ice like some kind of winter Olympian, or at least like someone who was unlikely to fall on her ass.
"I'll give you a few minutes to work up the courage, but then I'm coming back for you,"
Iris warned as she skated away backwards. "Backwards? Show off."
Kira just waved her off. There was no way she was getting out there on the ice. Should her feet be hurting already, even though she hadn't skated a single step? She shifted a little as she watched the skaters. The outdoor rink was full of people happily skating like it was the easiest damn thing in the world. People of all ages sped past her, but it was the tiny kids with hockey helmets she was particularly afraid of. She had been teasing Iris about her dislike of children, but these kids looked seriously dangerous. They moved fast and apparently had no fear. She could very clearly imagine one taking her out at the knees. This was a terrible idea. She caught a glimpse of Iris across the rink. She had stopped to lean against the partial wall that lined the rink and was chatting with a small group of people. A small group of people that just so happened to include Bennett Ellis. He hadn't taken her up on her offer to walk the dogs at the farm, but now here he was reappearing in her life where she least expected him to. Damn it! The last thing she wanted was for Bennett to see her sliding across the ice on her face. She needed to get out of here, but she didn't want to bail on Iris, not to mention she could barely walk in these damp skates. Oh, shit. And now Iris was pointing at her from across the rink, and Jeannie was waving, and Bennett was skating toward her with complete confidence, like he was born wearing skates, and there was nowhere to run. He was heading straight for the wall she was leaning on, like he might crash into it. But instead he did that hockey stop thing and sprayed ice into the air. It was obnoxious. And hot. And more obnoxious than it was hot. "Hey," he said, only slightly out of breath, his cheeks rosy from the cold.
"Hello." Was she feeling a little prickly with him for not stopping by the farm in the past few days? Absolutely not. She was just cold and her feet hurt, and she was not looking forward to being embarrassed in front of him again. His mouth tipped up in the corner.
"Are you planning on skating?"
"No, I just came for the ambiance."
The ambiance. Bennett glanced around at the racing children and the tinny music blaring over the loudspeakers.
"Yep, just soaking in that Christmas cheer."
"Sure." His smile grew. "Do you want help?"
That question should not have been so loaded. She shouldn't want to yell at him that she didn't need his help with anything. She shouldn't want his help so damn much. No, not his help. Just him. Just his proximity made her feel better. And it shouldn't.
She was independent now, perfectly fine on her own.
No, thank you.
Kira, I don't need your help.
Just like you didn't need my help with getting that tree onto the car?
Exactly like that.
Kira.
What?
I've been swamped with work. I haven't had time to drive up to the farm for dog walks.
It irked her that he knew that that was why she was acting so grouchy with him. How dare he be so astute?
Why would I care about that? I've been busy, too, she sniffed.
Kira, he held out his hand to her, and she tried her damnedest to ignore it. Kira, let me help you.
I'm perfectly happy watching.
You'd rather stand there, wobbling on those skates and freezing your butt off, than let me help you?
He had a point. She was freezing, and flailing around for her life as she made her way around the rink would probably work up a sweat. Iris and Jeannie waved to her from across the rink, beckoning her to join them. Iris thought she was cool for leaving her life behind and starting the farm. She couldn't let her new friend, her only friend, down.
Ugh.
She took Bennett's hand. It was comforting and warm, and her fingers immediately started to defrost.
Okay, we're just going to take it slow, he said soothingly, like he was talking to a spooked horse, which may have been how Kira looked as she stepped through the opening in the wall and onto the ice. One skate, two skates, there, she was on. She kept her death grip on Bennett's hand, and he smiled at her.
Now, we have to move.
Kira frowned. Are you sure? I kind of feel like this is good enough for my first time.
Kira, he coaxed. Come on, one foot in front of the other.
She glared at him, but slowly slid one skate forward. Unfortunately, the other one did not follow, and she nearly did a full split before Bennett hauled her back upright. She clung to the front of his sweater.
I got you.
Nope, nope, I almost fell, but you didn't, but I almost did. He had an arm wrapped around her back now, holding her steady, as a rush of child skaters moved past them, his strong body protecting her from tiny people with hockey helmets and no concept of personal space.
I got you, he said again, but this time his lips brushed the sensitive shell of her ear.
A shiver ran the entire length of her body. She pulled away just enough to see his eyes darken and his perfect lips tip up in the corner.
Uh-oh, skating was even more dangerous than she thought.
Let's try again, he said, taking her hand in his. Push with one foot and then glide. Push and glide.
Push and glide. Right. Piece of cake.
Staring at her skates was a good excuse not to look at Bennett's lips, so that was what she did. Push and glide. Push and glide. There. She was doing it. Well, sort of. Her pushes were very small, and her glides were pretty choppy, and they were making incredibly slow progress around the rink, but she was upright. She forgot to keep her eyes on her feet and glanced at Bennett. Damn it, this man was just made for outdoor excursions. He looked rosy and healthy, and the stars twinkling behind his head just added to the whole dizzying effect of him.
Ta-da,
she whispered, and his smile grew.
Very good.
He dipped his head closer to hers so she could hear him over the music.
You continue to impress me, Kira.
Her sarcastic response died on her tongue as he ran his thumb over the soft skin on her wrist beneath her coat. Suddenly she was very aware of her hand in his, of his long fingers woven through hers. If she had any confidence in her ability not to get grievously injured, she would have let go. But instead, she had no choice but to let Bennett's body and words warm her.
Look at you!
Iris cheered as she skated by, spun on her skates, and turned to face Kira.
You're a natural!
Kira cleared her throat, emerging from the trance of Bennett's proximity.
That is definitely not true. But if I stay off my ass, I'll consider it a success.
Iris smiled at Bennett as she leisurely skated backwards, somehow avoiding other skaters and the wall.
I'm sure Bennett will keep track of your ass.
Bennett choked on nothing, a startled cough escaping his lips. Iris laughed.
To keep it off the ground, I mean.
Keep what off the ground? Jeannie asked, skating up beside them.
Me, Kira said, out of the corner of her eye, catching the blush that had worked its way up Bennett's cheeks. Jeannie smiled.
I'm sure he will.
She skated off with Iris, the two of them giggling, and Kira started to wonder if there was something in the water in this town.
Those two are weird, she said.
Very.
I will obviously keep track of my own ass.
Obviously. She snuck another glance and saw he was looking at her, like he had other ideas in mind. Again, his thumb was tracing circles over her wrist, and she wondered if he knew he was doing it, if he was driving her crazy on purpose. How had she ever thought he was wholesome when he was looking at her like that? Like he was thinking about her ass, like he wanted her, which was insane, considering she was currently wearing the world's bulkiest parka and was creeping around the rink like an elderly turtle. But he was. That heat was back in Bennett's eyes, and Kira was getting dangerously close to stoking the flames. Would it be so bad to give in to that look? To see what this good guy had to offer? He was still looking at her when the peewee hockey player nailed them from behind, and they both went crashing to the ice.
Shit, shit, shit!
Bennett hit the ice hard, his legs tangled up with Kira's. She let out a scared little squeal as they went down that would probably haunt his dreams forever. You okay? He asked quickly, sitting up. He looked down at where Kira was sprawled on the ice. Can you get up? Kira winced.
If you mean, am I too injured to get up? The answer is no. If you're asking if I'm physically capable of getting up, the answer's also no.
He huffed a laugh, relieved that she was okay enough to crack jokes. Here. He took her by the arm and eased her up to a seat. The kid that crashed into them had already skated off, unscathed by the collision.
Now hit and run, Kira said with a scowl. I don't even know which one it was. They all look the same with those helmets.
What would you do if you knew who did it? Seek retribution?
Something like that. Get their mom to yell at them at the very least.
Bennett shook his head with a laugh. All right, let's get up before we get run over. He managed to get himself back on his feet, but Kira was slipping and sliding all over the place, her flailing, threatening to knock them both over again.
Maybe I should just crawl, she said with a groan as she fell back on her butt.
You're not crawling. He leaned down, put his hands on her waist, and hoisted her up to a stand. Her eyes went wide when he then scooped her into his arms.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm carrying you.
No way.
You gonna skate back? He raised an eyebrow in challenge, and Kira glanced across the rink. They'd made it halfway, and it had taken a hell of a long time to get here. Kira frowned, but relented.
I will allow it.
He laughed and started to head toward the exit. And it was fine, totally just a friend helping a friend, until Kira leaned her head against his chest and sighed like she liked being there. His fingers tightened on her thighs. First her hand in his, then all this talk about her ass, and now this. Kira in his arms, her silky hair tickling along his throat, her scent washing over him. And all he could think about was the soft skin of her wrist, and how he'd wanted to replace his thumb with his tongue, how he'd wanted to explore a lot more than her wrist. What the hell was he doing? He'd resolved to stay away from her, to tamp down his rescuer instincts, and he'd ended up with Kira in a bridal hold as he escorted her off the ice. He was obviously failing epically.
The ice skating lifeguard is blowing his whistle at us, Kira said, distracting him from his thoughts.
Ice skating lifeguard? Bennett looked in the direction Kira was pointing. Oh, the high schooler with a whistle and a safety vest? I'm not worried about him.
He's yelling that you have to put me down, she said with a smile in her voice. I'll put you down when we get there. Uh-oh, Bennett, I thought you were a rule follower, she teased as they approached the exit. A good boy.
He slowed down, ignoring the way she'd purred those last words, and stepped carefully off the ice. He lowered Kira to the ground and tried desperately to ignore the way her body pressed against the entire length of his as he did. She didn't pull away, just looked up at him with a mischievous grin. There were so many rules he wanted to break when it came to Kira, mostly the ones he'd made for himself. He wanted to take her home. He wanted to take her to bed. He wanted to dive headfirst into this thing with her that made no sense and would land him exactly where he always landed, alone and confused about what he'd done wrong this time. But the answer was clear. He kept doing the same thing over and over again, falling for women that he had no future with. His home wasn't here. His life wasn't here. He'd already been down this road before, and he couldn't do it again. Kira was not the one for him. And he needed to remember that, even as she leaned forward and pressed a kiss to his cheek. "Thanks for rescuing me," she said, her voice light and teasing in his ear. "I hope it was good for you." He bit down on a groan. This woman was going to kill him. She was so close. Her delicious lips were right there. A slight turn of his head and his mouth would be on hers. It took all his strength to pull away. Kira raised an eyebrow, a playful smirk on her face, and damn, did he want to play with her. But it just wasn't meant to be. "Real good," he said, and Kira's smile grew. "But I have to get going." Her face fell. "Oh. See you around, Kira." "Right. See you around, Bennett." Chapter 13. The sky was white this morning. According to her weather app, they were under a winter storm warning, which to Kira sounded quite ominous. What did one do to prepare for a winter storm warning? Did she need to stock up on toilet paper and canned soup? She already had plenty of those. She probably just needed working heat. But that was still a pipe dream. So instead of preparing, she just stared forlornly out the window at the eerily white sky. She didn't love the idea of being trapped here alone for whatever this storm might bring, but she didn't have much of a choice now, did she? What was she going to do? Trap Bennett here when he hopefully came for a walk? Bat her eyelashes until he agreed to stay and keep her company? Ha ha. Nope, of course she wouldn't. That would be crazy. And Kira was done manipulating people like that. Or she was trying to be. She replayed the whole scene from last Sunday over and over in her mind, searching for evidence that she'd somehow conned Bennett and his friends into helping her when her employees didn't show up. But she hadn't found any. She was pretty sure they all just stayed out of the kindness of their hearts, which was odd, and made an uncomfortable but decidedly warm feeling settle in her chest. Uh-oh, maybe her grinchy heart was growing. She shook her head and reread her sister's text message from this morning. "Morning, Kiki. Love you. Hope you have a great day and sell so many trees. XOXO. The whole thing was followed by several tree emojis and far too many hearts. Chloe was overcompensating. She only used emojis when she was feeling bad about something. Somehow, her twin knew that she was struggling here, despite all her protests. And if she didn't get her shit together soon, Chloe might do something crazy like come back, and as much as the thought made Kira's heart surge in her chest, she absolutely could not allow that. Just as much as this was her chance to do something on her own, it was Chloe's too. It had taken some distance for her to see it, but Kira realized how much she had pulled Chloe down over the years. How many times had she nearly gotten them both into trouble? If that cop that showed up to pull a half-naked and very drunk Kira out of a neighbor's pool hadn't had a huge crush on Chloe all through high school, they'd probably both have been arrested. And Chloe could have been a functioning member of society so much sooner if Kira hadn't kept them both behaving like spoiled brats for so long. Chloe had a real job, like with numbers and money, and she'd gotten it all on her own. God, Chloe had been so damn proud of herself when she'd come home after that interview, an interview that had nothing to do with their father's company, the one he hadn't had to make up for her. And Kira had panicked. Her twin was moving on. Her twin was growing up. And when Chloe had casually mentioned getting an apartment of her own in the city, Kira had freaked out. Well, freaked out in a way that no one but her twin would notice. But Chloe knew. Chloe knew she didn't want her to go. She'd quietly dropped the whole thing, putting her life on hold for Kira. It wasn't until Chloe had met Eric on that dating app that she finally had the courage to leave. And Kira had tried so damn hard since then to make sure she didn't get in her sister's way again. She took a deep breath and pressed her forehead to the cold window. She didn't like to think about it, her past behavior, how entitled she'd acted for so long, how often she'd put herself above others, even her sister. Sure, she'd donated more of her trust fund than she'd spent, but karmically, it didn't seem to be helping. As it turned out, being a good person was kinda hard. Sighing dramatically, for no one's benefit but her own, she put her coffee cup in the sink and decided to head outside just to check on things, not to maybe accidentally bump into a certain perfectly symmetrically faced man. Definitely not that. Actually, screw it. She absolutely was going to look for Bennett, because he was pretty to look at, and he was nice to her, and she was lonely, damn it. And if she wanted a little Christmas flirtation, a little holiday hookup, she was perfectly within her rights as a grown woman. She tugged on her boots and took her coat off the hook. She strode out the back door with a new determination in her step. Bennett had been looking at her with all that steam in his eyes for days. He'd practically been drooling over her at the skating rink until he had to leave. And who was she to deter him when she could really use a friendly roll in the hay? Besides, this was the perfect solution. Bennett was leaving after Christmas. It was the perfect out. She'd let him fill her stocking, and then he'd be out of her life. No need to worry about seeing her mother's smug face when she met him, because she never would. Bennett could just be a Christmas fling. She smiled as she pulled on her coat. Why hadn't she thought of this sooner? She'd been too bogged down with this whole running a business thing and fighting off Bennett's attempt to fix her life. She didn't need him to fix anything. But she sure as hell would let him give her a hand with a few things in the bedroom. She nearly laughed to herself, but she already felt a little bit like she was hunting the nice man, so she probably shouldn't add villainous laughter into the mix. Not that she was about to force him into anything. He'd been making those sexy eyes at her for days, and she'd been stubbornly and rather stupidly ignoring it. Well, she was done with that. It wasn't manipulation, if he wanted it too, right? It was just finally giving in to what they both wanted. Now, she just had to find him. Kira's confidence faded a bit when she found Bennett on the edge of the farm, out by the old barn. It was possible that she had been grossly underestimating his attractiveness. He looked good this morning, like really good, like Henry Cavill good. And suddenly she felt less sure of her seduction plan. Maybe she had hallucinated the tension between them? Maybe it wasn't sexual at all. Maybe it was just regular old hostile tension. And he did kind of run away after carrying her off the skating rink. Maybe he wasn't into her after all. And besides, how was it that a man this good-looking and this kind and handy and who filled out his jeans like that was single? Maybe he wasn't. Oh, God, what was she even doing out here? It was that text from Chloe that had her all mixed up, and this storm warning. Something in the atmosphere had made her briefly think that this man might want her. Never in her entire life had Kira been attracted to a well-adjusted man, or attracted one for that matter. Instead, she picked up delinquents, deviants, and general trouble wherever she went. Men that looked and acted like Bennett Ellis had never factored into the equation. Despite her mother's best efforts to set her up with plenty of upstanding citizens, or at least men that appeared that way from the outside, plenty of them had pinched her ass and called her sweetheart when her mother wasn't looking. Kira had resisted at all costs. But all that was beside the point. She had a lot on her plate. She didn't really feel like adding rejection by a hot man into the mix today. She should just go. A cacophony of barking stopped her in her tracks. Kira? Shit. Caught. Oh, Bennett, hey, she said as casually as possible for someone lurking in the trees and spying on him like a creeper. She was thankful the dogs were here, so she could look at them instead of Bennett's face. Her feelings had swung back to annoyed at its perfection, now that she realized he would definitely reject her, if given the chance. Asshole. Hey. He was closer now, that damn peppermint scent filling her senses. Why did he smell like that? Did he eat candy canes for breakfast? What are you doing out here? She snapped. His brows rose in surprise. I thought you said we could come for a walk. Right, I know. She shook her head. He didn't actually reject you, you lunatic. You made that up. Be nice. Sorry, I just meant you're really far out here. Oh, yeah. He glanced away from her, his gaze scanning the decrepit old barn. You're not using this building, are you? Apparently, he was here on a safety inspection mission and not to see her, which is what she'd been stupidly hoping. No, officer, I'm not using this building. Don't worry. His hands flexed at his sides, his jaw clenched and released, like he was holding back. Kira couldn't help her smile. It's killing you, isn't it? His gaze flicked back to hers. You want to lecture me about this barn, she went on, or offer to rebuild it, or something equally insane. It makes you crazy that it's just sitting here all dangerous and broken. Well, I might walk in there one day and the whole thing could collapse on me. He visibly winced at that image, which Kira had to admit she found quite satisfying. A crease formed between his brows. She wouldn't be surprised if he was sweating beneath that vest. I'm not going to rebuild your barn. Kira laughed. Are you telling me or yourself? He frowned at her. Good. It was respite from that perfect smile. I didn't come up here because of the barn. I just needed a longer walk today. Oh. Well, that was a little bit disappointing. Bennett ran a hand over the back of his neck, and Kira noticed that he looked tired today. Stubble was visible on his square jaw, and his eyes had dark smudges beneath them. Teasing him was significantly less fun if he was upset about something. He glanced up at the sky, and then back at her. He opened his mouth to speak, but then closed it, as though he thought better of it. I should probably go, he said. Right, the storm. He shrugged. The unimpressed gesture of a man who'd lived through many a snowstorm and lived to tell the tale. Shouldn't be too bad. Maybe not for you northerners, she said with a small smile, hoping he would return it, but that frown hadn't left. He studied her a moment longer before letting out a defeated sigh. Did you get the fireplace working? He asked. And why did that question make her warmer than the actual fire? I did. I'm a real pro at lighting it now, too. Who showed you? There was an edge to the question, like he was angry that it hadn't been him. You'd be amazed what you can find on the internet, Bennett. He gave another tense nod. His energy was weird today. What was going on with him? Wasn't it just last night that he'd been all smiles with her at the skating rink? This whole conversation felt like a rejection, and she hadn't even attempted her seduction. Is this what nice guys were like? Hot and cold and generally confusing? He shook his head. Make sure you stay warm, okay? And that the flu is open, he added, like he couldn't help himself. Got it, she said, stifling the urge to add that he could stay and keep her warm. This half-rejection was bad enough. She didn't need an explicit one. Good. And if you need anything, yeah? Her dumb, recently enlarged heart paused, waiting to hear what he would offer. Call Logan. He has a plow. Logan? What the hell? Her heart shriveled to its previous grinchy size, maybe even smaller. Sure. Okay. Thanks, I guess. See you around, Kira. He called to his dogs that were currently scattered through the trees, sniffing and probably peeing on her merchandise. Bye, Bennett. She said. but it didn't really matter. He was already walking away. Chapter 14. He'd nearly made it back to his rental car, ready to make his escape away from this farm and Kira and an impending snowstorm and barns that were most definitely death traps, when a familiar voice called his name.
Ben! Hey!
Jacob, from Jeannie's book club, was waving to him from the dirt patch that served as a parking lot. Bennett glanced at his watch. He'd stayed longer than he planned. It was after 10, and the farm was officially open. Not that anyone else appeared to be here.
Jacob, hey, what are you doing here?
The younger man smiled at him like he was an idiot.
This is a tree farm, Ben. We're here for a tree.
Bennett was about to ask who the we was when he spotted Nancy, Linda, and Kaori climbing out of Nancy's hatchback.
It's a book club field trip, or at least some of the book club, Jacob explained.
What are you doing here?
Using all my strength not to fall back into bad habits. Just out for a walk with the dogs.
The dogs in question were happily sniffing around Jacob's feet.
Right, Jacob said with a wink. A walk. Got it.
He winked again, and Bennett had no idea what he was hinting at, until the women came over, and Linda immediately asked if he'd found anything suspicious yet. Kaori shushed her.
Quiet, Linda. Remember, we're trying not to traumatize the new owner.
Kaori turned her gaze on Bennett.
How is Miss North, by the way? We hear you've gotten to know her.
Her smile made him wonder if he could make a run for his car before they could catch him.
She's funny, sharp, a little lonely, so beautiful it hurts.
She's done a lot to get the farm up and running. I think she'll be good for the town.
Yes, good for the town.
Kaori's smile grew, but there was no time for a more thorough interrogation. Another young man was striding toward them.
Looks like they're closed, he said, linking his hand with Jacob's.
Ben, this is Darius, my boyfriend,
Jacob said with a huge grin, ignoring Darius's proclamation that the farm was closed.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Bennett shook the man's hand, and Darius gave him a big smile in return, before turning back to Jacob.
There's no one in the cabin. Maybe because of the snow?
Jacob frowned.
But it's barely started.
The snow had been falling in large, fat flakes since Bennett had run away from Kira, and now it was coming down faster. Already the trees had a light coating, making the farm look like it had been dusted with confectioner's sugar. It was pretty at the moment, but Bennett figured they only had another few hours before the roads were a mess.
We'll just go by the honor system,
Nancy declared, waving her saw around.
The honor system? Darius asked, clearly skeptical and maybe a bit nervous about the jagged blade the older woman was brandishing.
Sure. We'll cut down our trees and leave the money, like we used to do. No need for all this fuss.
Nancy waved her hand at all of Kira's hard work, her decorated cabin and strings of lights, her cute hand-painted signs and photo op spots. It made Bennett irrationally angry to have it brushed aside like it was nothing.
Maybe you should come back another time, he suggested.
Do you know how hard it was to find a day we could all come? Kaori asked. And we're still missing members.
She gave her head a determined shake.
I'm with Nancy. It has to be today.
Yay!
Jacob clapped his hands. Let's go. The little group marched off toward the trees, snow already piling up on their hats and shoulders.
Come on, Bennett!
Jacob called over his shoulder.
We'll help you look for bodies while we're here.
Bennett glanced toward Kira's house, down the dirt road from the parking lot. He thought about her in there, alone and cold. He thought about her rummaging around in that old barn, or stumbling over some grisly discovery, or, most likely, looking out her window and seeing the Dream Harbor Book Club stealing her Christmas trees, and he wanted to protect her from all of it. He blew out a long sigh. This test was too much, and he definitely failed it.
Wait up,
he called after the group, and followed them back into the trees.
I'm starting to think maybe there isn't a dead body after all, Jacob said, like he was horribly disappointed they hadn't found a murder victim.
Of course there isn't, Bennett grumbled.
They'd ended up by the old barn again, mostly because Jacob thought it looked like a good place to hide things, and partly because the biggest trees were up this end of the farm. And apparently, Kaori required a 12-footer for her cathedral ceilings. Bennett was cold and tired, and now carrying Pudgy, who was snoring loudly in his arms. The women had already headed back down the hill, their trees on the back of a sled. But Jacob insisted they check out the barn. So here they were, inside the building that just this morning Bennett had warned Kira to stay away from. Trespassing. Snooping. Maybe it's not a body. Maybe Noah was right. Maybe he buried some kind of treasure. Or money, Jacob said, as he peered around an old tractor. And if he did, it's not ours to find. So, let's go. He's right, Darius chimed in from his spot, huddled inside his coat near the door. We should go, babe. Okay, fine, Jacob agreed with a huff. I guess the old guy was just screwing with us with that letter. He shrugged. Well, you're off the hook, Ben. You don't have to keep coming up here for walks, he said with another wink, before following Darius out of the barn. Bennett didn't have to keep coming here. He shouldn't keep coming here. He didn't need another Nicole in his life. Not that Kira was anything like her, but the situation was too tempting for him. It was like a sugar addict getting a part-time job at a candy factory. He glanced at the ceiling, where the beams had separated and the roof had caved in. Snowflakes swirled in through the opening. There was nothing else in here except for some old farm equipment and damp hay. Nothing of much use. Except for maybe that. Bennett spotted the old shovel and a bag of rock salt shoved into the corner of the barn. He doubted Kira had thought about how she would clear her path tomorrow. She wasn't used to the snow. He could just bring these down and leave them on her porch for her. And then he would go. He wouldn't think about her digging herself out of her house alone tomorrow. Nope. He would drop these off and then go home. It was a good plan, a compromise with himself. He looked down at the sleeping dog in his arms and the two circling his feet. Hey, Jacob, wait up. He followed the other men and found them loading their tiny tree onto the back of a sled. Perfect. He put the salt and the shovel next to their tree, but kept Pudgy with him. She was too old to go bumping around on the back of a sled. They all slipped and slid their way back down the hill, with Jacob and Darius spontaneously breaking out into a very spirited version of Let It Snow on their way down. It reminded Bennett that this was what he'd wanted, a white Christmas, a quintessential New England December. Noah was right. The farm looked like the set of a holiday movie. But it wasn't enough. Bennett's thoughts kept returning to his other Christmas wish. And his resolve to leave the snow supplies and run was weakening with every step. "Can you guys drop the dogs off at Logan's for me?" he said when they got back to the cars. Logan's farm was on the way back to town, or he wouldn't have asked. But he didn't know how much longer he'd be here, and he wanted the dogs taken care of. Because who the hell was he kidding? There was no way he was leaving until he was sure Kira was equipped for this storm. Sure, Ben. Jacob smiled at him, shaking snow from his coat. Sticking around a little longer, huh? Bennett didn't reply. He was getting tired of this book club and their knowing smiles and remarks. Have fun anyway, Jacob sang. Bennett bundled the dogs into the car and watched as they drove away. The dirt parking lot was completely covered in several inches of snow now, but the car made it out and onto the road safely. Bennett stood there, the snow seeping through his jeans, thinking about how he should leave, about how bad of an idea it was to go check on Kira, about how he was repeating patterns that had only made him miserable in the past. But the thing about bad habits was that they were very hard to break. Chapter 15. Kira was less than pleased that she had to untangle herself from her blanket pile to go answer the door. She was all hunkered down in front of the fire, ready to sit out the storm.
She'd already called Iris and the few farmhands from Logan's and told them not to bother coming today. So who could possibly be at her door? She pulled it open to find a scowling Bennett on her porch. Hi.
Here.
He pushed a rusty old snow shovel into her hands, like he was either mad at her or the shovel. She couldn't tell.
Thanks.
Bennett, what are you still doing here?
His frown deepened. His cheeks were red from the cold, and his pants were soaked up to the knee. What the hell had he been doing since she left him over an hour ago?
He blew out a long sigh.
The book club showed up.
The book club?
Yeah.
He shook his head, sending clumps of snow tumbling off his hat.
I just wanted to make sure you had a shovel for the morning.
He winced, like this whole conversation was killing him.
Oh. And I brought some salt, too.
He glanced down at the bag by his feet, and then clearly noticed the shovel and bucket of rock salt that was already next to the door, the one she'd bought yesterday on her trip to the hardware store.
Christ, you already have one.
He huffed a brittle laugh.
Yep, my first one. Bought it yesterday.
She gave him a smile, but he still looked like a man in pain.
I even called Logan. He's going to clear the parking lot for me tomorrow, once he digs himself out.
She probably didn't need to tell him all this, and she definitely shouldn't feel as proud of herself as she was, but she was. She was figuring shit out, and, apparently, she wanted Bennett to know about it.
He nodded, still frowning, still not celebrating her ability to buy her own snow shovel.
Rude.
That's good. I'm glad you have it under control.
He cleared his throat.
I should go.
Kira's heart sank.
You can't go.
No, I really should. He gave her a grim smile.
You don't need me here.
So?
He raised his eyebrows.
What do you mean, so?
So, what if I don't need you? What if I just want you to stay?
You want me to stay?
Why did he sound so damn incredulous about that? Like she couldn't possibly want him to stay if she didn't have odd jobs for him to do. Did he really think she was that shitty of a person?
She was a reformed shitty person, or trying to be anyway.
For safety, she said, still wanting him to stay, wanting to show him that she wasn't a shitty person anymore.
She gestured around then, the snow swirling past the porch.
The storm?
It's not that bad.
Look, Buffalo Man, just because you're not scared of snow doesn't mean it's not dangerous. I can't, in good conscience, let you drive off in this.
His gaze met hers, and she didn't know why he was so torn about this decision, but he clearly was. This man, who had pushed his way into her house to check her heat just a handful of days ago, now couldn't seem to convince himself to cross the threshold.
Kira huffed. You're getting snow in my house. At least come in and have this decision-making crisis inside.
Bennett blinked. Kira ignored the snowflakes glistening on his long eyelashes. Details like that were absolutely not helpful at the moment.
Sorry.
He left the shovel next to hers and stepped inside. Not that it was much warmer in the drafty entryway, but Kira had solved that problem.
Leave your boots and coat there and follow me, she said, leading the way to the cozy nook she'd made in her living room.
She pushed back the blanket she'd hung in the doorway, separating the living room and the front hall. She had another one tacked up in the door between the living room and the kitchen. They helped keep the heat from the fire in the room. It was actually quite toasty.
Bennett stepped in after her.
He looked around, taking in the roaring fire and the blankets. The clear lack of smoke or freezing temps obviously throwing him for a loop. His mouth opened and closed in an attempt to speak, but nothing came out. Kira couldn't help her smug smile.
See? She could do it. She could take care of herself.
Okay, take your pants off, she said, turning to him. Bennett coughed.
Take my what?
Take your pants off, she said slowly, like he just hadn't understood her, and not that he was horrified at the suggestion.
They're all wet. I'll throw them in the dryer. Probably your socks, too.
She glanced down at his holly-printed socks. When she looked up, a blush had crossed Bennett's cheeks.
He blushed? Ugh, just when she decided not to seduce him, he had to go and blush like that? Unfair. Absolutely underhanded move. I can't just sit here without pants on. He crossed his arms over his chest. I'm fine like this. You're not fine. You're wet, you stubborn ass. A flare of excitement went off in her gut at his surprised expression. Why was it so fun to tease him? I'll get you something to put on, she said, hustling out of her grown-up blanket fort and up the stairs. It was a good 20 degrees colder up here, so she didn't waste time grabbing something for Bennett to wear and heading back down again. He still had his pants on when she reappeared. Disappointing. Here, to preserve your modesty. She stuck the old bathrobe out between them, but Bennett just stared at it. You want me to wear that? He said at last, taking in the very fuzzy pinkness of the whole thing. It's all I have that will fit you. It's this, or... She raised her eyebrows suggestively. Or nothing. Bennett snatched it from her hand, his cheeks turning an even brighter red. She laughed, tempted to stay and torment him a bit further, but she didn't want to scare him off quite yet. I'll go make us some coffee while you change. The freezing temperature of her kitchen sobered her slightly while she waited for the coffee to brew. What exactly was she doing with this man? If she was trying to be a better person, it seemed important to examine her motives, but like, quickly, because she was freezing her ass off out here. She reached for two mugs and poured them both fresh coffee. How do you take it? She called. Milk and too much sugar for a grown man, he replied, and she bit down on a smile. Damn it. At some point, she started liking him. What would her old self have done in this situation? If she could figure that out, she could just do the opposite, and that would probably be what a decent human being would do. She didn't actually know what her old self would have done in this situation, because her old self probably wouldn't have invited the nice man in the first place. Do you need help out there? His voice came through the blanket again. Nope. All good. Be out in a sec. Right. Okay. What were the facts here? She went over them as she poured milk into Bennett's mug and heaped in 2 teaspoons of sugar. Facts. It was snowing out, probably dangerously so. There were actual safety concerns here. On the other hand, she had very inconveniently started admitting to herself that she found Bennett attractive, and she'd managed to get him out of his pants. That sounded kind of manipulative, kind of like something her old self would have done, decided she wanted something, and then just taken it. On the other hand, she hadn't lured him in here under false pretenses or to do things for her. She just liked him and didn't want him to get hurt. Holy crap, she was doing it. She was being a good person. Kudos to me, she thought, as she carried the mugs back through the blanket door. I'm being a better person, and I get a buddy to sit out the storm with. Karma was finally back in her corner. She looked up, half expecting Bennett to still be stubbornly wearing his wet pants. He wasn't. Any thoughts about being a good person or being buddies with him immediately left her brain at the sight of him sitting on her couch wearing her robe. He looked absurd, wrapped in pink fleece, but he also looked, he looked damn good. His hair was damp from the snow and curling slightly around his ears, and his furious blush had lessened to a rosy glow. His eyes, when they met hers, were a stormy gray, but he was smiling again. He'd taken off his pants and sweater and was left in a white T-shirt under her robe, and whatever other undergarments he might be sporting that Kira definitely wasn't thinking about. She thunked the mugs under the coffee table, sloshing hot liquid over the rim. What'd you do with your clothes? She asked, ready to take another little break to put them into the dryer. I remembered where the dryer was downstairs, so I just threw them in. Oh, right. Good. Are you going to sit down? He asked, that little smirk returning. Apparently, whatever internal crisis he'd been having earlier had been resolved. But she was still hovering over the coffee table, trying not to look at his legs or think about his underwear.
Yep.
She shoved some of the blankets away from the end of the couch and curled up in the corner. She'd taken to sleeping down here in her warm nest, and the blanket and pillow situation had gotten a little out of control.
Where are the dogs? She asked,
once she was as settled as far away from Bennett's naked legs as she could get. It would help to have a few furry bodies between them right now. I sent them home with Jacob.
Jacob? Oh, yeah. Why exactly was the book club here?
Bennett rolled his eyes, like he was just as befuddled by the Dream Harbor Book Club as she was. She'd run into them once at the bookstore and had avoided them ever since. They came for Christmas trees, but you were closed, so they went by the honor system.
Honor system? Did they steal my trees?
Bennett laughed at her outraged tone.
No.
Here you go. He pulled a wad of cash from the pocket of the robe. They left money.
Oh, well, in that case, she smiled. I hope they had a lovely